as an example of where we might use it. Okay, so this is now here we have got a S chloride. We're reacting it with azide. The azide, which is a nucleophile, reacts with the carbon, which is delta plus. It's SN2. If we have a look at the carbon, this is a secondary carbon here, so it's able to go both ways. We choose the solvent system so that this is going to go via an SN2 mechanism. So S is turned into the R form of the azide. Okay, so the azide is now attached to the carbon. We then hydrogenate it, turns the azide into an amino group, but it's still the R configuration. Then we take the molecule again and go, right, we now want the S form of the amine rather than the R form of the amine. So we take the SH anion, introduce that as a nucleophile. That then goes in and does an SN2 reaction, turns S into R, so we've now got a thiol coming out in the R configuration. We then take methyl iodide and then transform the thiol group into a sulfonium ion. Now the sulfonium ion is then a leaving group, so we undergo again an SN2 reaction. So we take the R form and turn it into an S form of the azide by throwing in the azide anion at that point as the nucleophile. We then take the S azide, react it with the hydrogen to form the amine functional group, and we've now got the S amine. Okay, so that's how chemists go, well, which particular chiral form do I want? I can control it completely if I want to. There's a great deal of flexibility in this. Now remember, nature works extensively with optical isomers because it's a very precise molecular control if you start working with optical isomers. And so that's why chemists have to be able to do this sort of stuff in a quite a flexible fashion. So SN2 reactions give very tight control.